from someone else for the next little while. So March break. Here we are. We are in the sermon series called Encounters with Jesus. And so we've talked about encountering Jesus in grief, encountering Jesus in temptation, encountering others, encountering Jesus in the community, going out into the community, and then encountering Jesus in others. And we talked last week about our trip to Ghana and how we saw Jesus moving there. And so this week we're actually talking about encountering Jesus in forgiveness. And if I could sum up forgiveness in two, maybe three words, maybe four, it's the key to life. To truly experience all that God has in store for us, we need to understand forgiveness. And it really is the key to life. It's the key to healing. It's the key to relationships. It's the key to understanding who God really created us to be. So, as I was doing some research about forgiveness, I came across this, and it says, all right, primates, mountain gorillas, and chimps often follow confrontations with friendly behavior like embracing or kissing. Similar behavior has been observed in non-primates like goats and hyenas. The only species that has so far failed to show outward signs of reconciliation is? No. Here we go. You all know it's true. Cats. I will pet a cat. I may even embrace a cat, but I will never trust a cat. Growing up, I was not allowed to have a pet because we lived on the main street. And no, this is not conducive to my reasoning why I don't want a pet now. But for those of you who know, I don't have any desire to have a pet. I'll come to your house, I'll pet your dog, I'll pet your cat, but I don't want a pet myself. Anyhow, so growing up, I lived on the main street, and we'd always say, Dad, can we please have a dog or a cat? And he'd say, no, it'll run out on the road, it'll get hit by a car, it'll die, and you'll cry. Like, that literally was every single time we asked for a pet, that was his answer. No, it'll run out on the road, it'll get hit by a car, it'll die, and you'll cry. We're like, okay, so we never had a pet. But my grandmother, who lived on a farm, as you know, farms have pets, like cats. And so I was allowed to have a cat at my grandmother's house. And so we had Buffy and Puffy and Tuffy and Fluffy. Now, Buffy was the mother, so I don't really remember her very well. I was quite small when we had her. And then Puffy was this wonderful cat, and I loved Puffy. Oh, he was such a good cat. And then Tuffy came along, and I should never have called that cat Tuffy, because every time you went to embrace that cat, he'd, like, nip you, or he'd scratch you, or he'd, like, turn around and, like, get you. And I'm like, I don't like you very much. And so probably he's the reason why I'm a little tainted on my trust for cats, because it just seemed like he never forgave. Like, for some, he was a stray, and so he must have had some sort of damage in his life prior to coming to my grandmother's house, and he just did not trust people, and he would never let things go. He was not a forgiving cat. Now, I'm not here to talk about cats this morning and their lack of forgiveness. Well, maybe I am just a wee bit. But I really want us to think about what forgiveness is today, because we talk about it a lot, but I don't know if we truly have a full understanding of what forgiveness is. But for some, you're like, well, I have to feel the need to forgive. And actually, forgiveness has nothing to do with a feeling. It's not a feeling. It's actually a command. Forgiveness is a command. We are commanded to forgive others. It has nothing to do with how you feel or how you think you're going to get, how things are going to work out. It's a command. We are simply to forgive. So then the question is, well, what does it mean to forgive? What is that word? So the Greek is afiami, which is to send away or release or to remit, like you forget a debt. If you're a student and you've had student loans and you get them remitted or forgotten, you're like, yes. And you understand then what it means to be forgiven your debt. It has been released from you, and you actually haven't really done anything to get that released. It's just been forgotten. Your debt has been released or forgiven. So to forgive is to cancel a debt, to pardon or excuse, to no longer blame or be angry, and with someone who has done you wrong. Now, I often struggle with the be angry, because anger is not just a feeling, it's a response. So when we are wronged, we are angry because we have been wronged. There's been an offense. But the underlying feeling of anger often comes from a not letting go of or a not dealing with. So even though you might still experience anger towards someone, does not mean that you are not supposed to forgive them. The command is still to forgive, to release the debt, to pardon, to excuse, not to forget. Forgiveness has nothing to do with forgetting, because it's really hard to forget. Only God forgets. He forgets our sin because he has truly forgiven us. And that's what I want to talk today about, is God's forgiveness. Because we can't truly understand what it means to forgive others unless we experience or understand a deeper meaning of God's forgiveness of us. And I've been asking the Lord that this week, because I've been a Christian my entire life. My mother was a Christian. My father were a Christian before that. And then my grandparents were believers. So I have grown up in the Christian faith. So for me to truly understand my need of forgiveness from God, I needed God to explain to me. Because I've always known Jesus. So I'm like, God, would you teach me what it means that you have forgiven me? Would you teach me? And so this week it has been that process of me sitting with the Lord. And I want to encourage you, if you don't understand something in Scripture, then sit with it. Sit with it. Ask the Lord about it. God, would you teach me what this means? And then make some time. If you're a commuter, turn the radio off and just say, Lord, would you teach me what this means? I don't understand it. Speak to my spirit. Because forgiveness really is the key to healing. Forgiveness really is the key to life. Forgiveness really is the key to healthy relationships. And unless we truly understand what forgiveness is and we get a handle on it, then we're going to have sucky lives. And it actually gets much worse than just being sucky. So how many times should a person forgive? Because you might be able to wrap your mind around once. Or even twice, maybe even three times, you might forgive the same person. But any more than that, you might be hard-pressed. And so Peter asks the same question to Jesus. He asks him this in Matthew 18. It says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times. Now, the reason Peter is asking this question is because Jesus has just taught about what should we do when someone offends us. And Jesus says, when somebody offends you, then you need to go to that person and have a conversation with them. And so Peter's like, okay, well, I'll go and I'll have a conversation with them. But how many times do I need to forgive them? When I have been wronged, how many times do I need to forgive them? So Peter is asking a genuine question from a teaching that Jesus gives. And we can do the same thing. When Jesus gives a teaching, we can ask a question if we don't understand. And that's what he's doing. He's like, how many times? And so he says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times. And now the rabbis said that a person should be forgiven up to three times. And that comes from Amos chapter 1, verse 3. So the rabbis taught up to three times. But Peter thought, well, I'll be super generous because I'm following Jesus. So Peter says, well, let's see. suggests that he was willing to be more generous in his forgiveness of others than just three times. He was willing to forgive up to seven times. That sounds reasonable. Seven times, that's a lot. And yet, Jesus answers him this, says, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times, which is also understood as an infinite number. He is telling Peter that not three times, not four times, not five times, not six times, not 58 times, not 103 times, not 562 times, not 100,000 times, an infinite number we are to forgive. An infinite number. And so Jesus, like a good teacher, tells a story. And it goes like this. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. Then the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt for you, all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. There are two sides to forgiveness. First side is your need to be forgiven. Sometimes we forget about that. And the second side is your need to forgive others. So there's two sides to the forgiveness coin. Our need to be forgiven, and then our need to forgive others. The story continues. Let's look at this. It says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to pay the debt. The king had left his affairs of the kingdom to servants to look after, and it was time for an audit. The servant owed a debt he could not possibly be repaid, and it's about $1.25 billion. There's no possible way he could have repaid it. And there's no possible way that his wife, who I'm sure is being really grateful to her husband right now for getting them into such debt, or the kids. What have I done? What have I done that I should have to pay for my father's debt? Or all of his servants. So the whole kit and caboodle have to pay for that man's debt. $1.25 billion. Seems a little unfair, right? That everybody else gets sucked in. But it's amazing when people need forgiveness, if there's sin in someone's life, how that sin affects the people around them. sin needs forgiveness. And if we aren't forgiven for sin, then our sin affects the people around us. So not only him, but his family was held responsible for his debt. It was a huge debt. We look at the 10,000 talents, we're like, I have no idea what that is, but let's say $1.25 billion in, I'm going to guess, all of our wealth in this room, unless there's something I don't know, could never match $1.25 billion. That was the weight of the debt. And the king had every right to ask for the money back. It was his. He had left this man in charge, and this man, for whatever reason, racked up a debt of $1.25 billion. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. So while it may reflect his sincere desire to save himself and his family, this was an impossible promise. He had gotten himself into a terrible position, and there was no way he could get himself out of it. There was no way. He had betrayed the king and racking up $1.25 billion, and here he is saying, I'll figure out how to pay you back. There's no way. There is no way that he could possibly pay the king back. And so the king replies, the servant's master took pity on him and canceled the $1.25 billion debt. Wow. At what cost, though? Who took the hit? The master. The master took the $1.25 billion debt. I don't care how rich you are. That's a big debt. That's a big hit to take. He took it. And you know what I love about that? Is he just forgave it. He didn't ask for anything else in return. He just forgave it. He didn't set up a payment plan to, oh, well, why don't you pay back a little? He just completely forgave it. It's mind-blowing when you think of the master's grace to that man. So how does that apply to us? Well, God is the king who has left his kingdom in the charge of humanity. In Genesis 2, it says, the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to watch over it. So he's actually left, he left the world in the care of humans to look after it. So a king created a world for humans to look after. Then God came to check in on his creation and found mismanagement. So God did an audit, actually, every day. It says that he walked in the cool of the garden with the man and the woman, and he basically was checking in on them, building relationship. How's this going? And it says, in disobedience, Adam and Eve ate from the tree that God had commanded them not to eat. So God specifically said, care for the garden, look after it, but just don't eat from this one tree. But you can have everything else except for this one tree. And Adam and Eve willfully chose to disobey or to sin. Sin is basically doing what we choose to do instead of what God asks us to do. And it wasn't a big ask. Don't eat from this tree. And they did. And so as a result, God began the reconciliation of accounts and extended mercy. In mercy, Adam and Eve were removed from the garden, and God was separated from them. Because injustice, in, next word, space, justice, in justice, God should have killed them. But he chose not to. In his mercy, he set up a reconciliation plan. A way to pay back the debt owing from Adam and Eve's disobedience. Next. And as a result, each one of us has inherited our ancestors' sinful nature. So God removed Adam and Eve from the garden, but he did not remove their sinful nature. That choice to eat from the apple or the fruit has now been passed on to every single one of us. And each single one of us has this nature that we are prone to sin. For everyone has sinned, says Romans, and we fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. And he did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sin. So it wasn't anything that we did. Doesn't matter how many good deeds we do. It doesn't matter how good Adam and Eve were at taking care of the earth or their generations at taking care of the earth or their generations, because really we still aren't really good at taking care of the earth. But God, through Jesus Christ, reconciled us or paid our debt, our sinful debt, because sin separates us from God. As soon as we start to choose our way instead of God's way, we take a step away from God. And the more that we sin, the further it is to connect with God. Sin is such a pain to God. It saddens him so much that he would himself be tortured and bodily die so that he might thereby wipe out a person's sin. Because this space grieves God. God doesn't want sin to separate us. He wants to be close. He wants to be close to his creation. And this sin that separates him grieves him. And I think part of the problem it doesn't grieve us all the time is because we don't know who God is. And how awesome he is. And how much he loves us. And the abundant life that he has for us. So we don't understand this grief of sin. We don't. Because Satan wants to convince us that we're okay. That one little sin really isn't going to matter. One little kiss really isn't going to matter. One TV show isn't going to matter. One, you know, extra payment from the bank that really we shouldn't have had isn't going to matter. But sin is sin is sin is sin is sin is sin is sin. Any sin separates us from God's glorious standard. And it grieves him that we would think that we know what we're doing when God Almighty in his love really knows what's best. But sin has this way of convincing us that we know what's best, not God. I remember saying that to my dad. You have no idea what you're saying. And my dad very graciously would sit and smile, and I would go off and I would do whatever I wanted to do, and I would come back and repent. Because he really did know the consequences of my actions. God knows the consequences of our actions. He knows that when we sin, we separate ourselves from God, and we cannot experience the fullness that God has for us. And so if we ask God if he would live so that sin should remain or die in order to destroy sin, he would choose death. So he would rather die himself than see us die because he loves us, because he created us. It says, for God feels more pain over our sin and it grieves him more grief than his own torture and death, our sin. Because he doesn't want anything separating us from experiencing his love. Because he created us to be with him. And it's really hard to be with us if there's sin in our life. And so he decided that he would pay the debt. And it wasn't a $1.25 billion debt. It was his life debt. Philippians says that he gave up everything, taking the very nature of a man. And he surrendered to death on a cross so that we could be made right with him. It says, this hidden sorrow over our sinful condition is an attribute of God's that he has chosen and that he is pleased to see in man. But it is God's attribute above all. Sorrow over sin does not finally belong to us humans. We ourselves are not really capable of it. Wherever God can bring it about in us, it is the most pleasing and most appropriate, but at the same time the most bitter and heavy undertaking on which we can enter. Martin Luther said that. We don't truly understand the grief of our sin that our sin causes. And that's why I was asking Jesus to show me this week. Teach me about the grief that my sin causes you. Teach me about how I separate myself from you when I sin. Teach me about how much you love me. Because I need to have that understanding of what I have been forgiven for, so then I can forgive as well. Because until we truly understand the grief that sin causes, then we truly don't know what we have been forgiven from. And no amount of words I can stand up here can convince you of that. It really is a spirit thing. And that's why Martin Luther ends, it is a heavy undertaking to ask God to show us the depth of our sin and how it grieves him. It grieves him. So our response. Passage says, since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. There's a pattern here for us. Our response is this. First, we are found owing a debt that we cannot pay back. Our sin, doesn't matter what we do, we cannot, by the number of good works, erase our sin. Because it says our good works are like filthy rags. They mean nothing. In order to pay back the debt of sin, it is not paid back by good things that we are doing. It is paid back by life. And only a perfect life. That was Jesus. So we are found owing and with a debt that we cannot pay back, and we are given a death sentence and see the need for our debt to be forgiven. So we receive the death sentence for our sin. It says the wages of sin is death. The payment for sin is death. But the master forgives, paying the debt himself. The rest of that verse is, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is a gift. He offers the gift of forgiveness of our sins. It's a gift. And if you want to think about it as a $1.25 billion gift that God offers you, then you can think of it like that. It is a priceless gift of life. And I have no idea where I would be at right now if I had not accepted that gift. It's a gift. I found this quote. It says, at the moment at which I admitted my sin and asked God's forgiveness, he gave me the deepest level of understanding of mercy that I could ever have imagined. So first we need to realize that we are sinful. And then we need to realize that we can't pay for our sin. And that God offers us this gift in Jesus Christ to be made right with him. Because the wages of sin is death. And you might think, death, no problem, except for death means hell. Separation from God. Full separation from God. So anything that you might think, well, at least I'll be able to enjoy the things that I've enjoyed here on earth forever. I just won't have any restrictions there. That's what hell is. And I'm like, no, it's not. Hell is complete separation from God. So any joy that you've had here will not be experienced in hell. Any peace that you've experienced here will not be experienced in hell. Any compassion or grace or mercy that you've experienced here, you will not experience in hell, because all those things are gifts from God. Hell is utter separation from God. There is no goodness to be found there. And I personally don't want that wage. And I don't want you to have that wage either. It grieves me when I see people who know about Jesus but haven't received the gift. Because they think they know what they're missing out on, but they don't. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we need to embrace that gift. So I don't know where you're at today. For some of you, you might have experienced this gift your entire life. For others, you might never have accepted the gift. You have no idea about the concept of sin. And this might be a first time for you, for someone to be talking about sin, choosing our way over God's way. Billy Graham would say the greatest sin is idolatry, the first commandment, putting ourselves before God. Because when we put ourselves before God, then we miss out on everything God has for us. And God has everything for you. Everything. And I can't explain what the everything is because I haven't experienced the everything yet. That's why God continues to leave me here every day so I can experience more and more of His goodness and His grace. So I can share His goodness with grace with others that we meet. But today, maybe you need to pray this prayer that says, Lord, as hard as I try, I don't think I'll truly understand the depth of my sin, nor the depth of your love for me. I cannot earn forgiveness. I can only receive forgiveness you offer. I believe Jesus paid for my sin debt, and by dying on the cross, I receive His sacrifice. Please forgive me and help me to have a personal relationship with you, because that's the cool thing about Jesus. He offers this gift. We receive it. And in the process of us opening it, He's there with us. He's there with us opening the gift. He's there as we use the gift. He's there to teach us about the gift. He says He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Isn't that the coolest thing? When we receive that gift of forgiveness, that gift of grace, that gift of mercy, He is right there helping us experience all the goodness that comes from receiving that gift. He helps us to walk it out, to experience all that He has for us because He loves us. He says God so loved the world that He gave the gift of His Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. That's the best gift ever. And that's truly what forgiveness is this gift from God, this payment of our debt that is extended to all people to receive so that we can have life forever with God. And as the worship team comes this morning, I want you just to ask yourselves, okay, Lord, where do I stand with you? How are we doing? If you've never accepted Christ before, then maybe this is that time to accept Christ. And this prayer, I want to begin a relationship. Then we invite you to come forward. We'll pray with you. Or you turn to the person beside you, and they'll pray with you. Or maybe you've gotten your life off track and you have forgotten about the grace that you have once received and you need to make things right with God. You need Jesus to help you experience the gift you've been given. Then you come forward. Or maybe you need to just say, okay, God, I'm walking with you, but I mess up. Help me to experience your grace a full and afresh anew. I pray that prayer often. Lord, I'm walking with you, but I've really messed up. Could you help me? And His grace comes. The sweetness of His forgiveness comes again. Because He has forgiven, He is forgiving, and He will continue to forgive us. Because we are the ones that need to feel that we have been forgiven. So He has forgiven us, but it's like He reminds us again, you are forgiven. But we don't understand that we don't owe something. He just stamps on it like we sang, paid in full. So that's why we need Jesus to teach us what it means to truly be forgiven. And we can only truly experience what it means to be forgiven as we forgive others, which is what we're going to talk about next week. And that's something, oh, you can go back to that one. Just go back and stay on that. It says, as much as it depends on you, be at peace with one another. You have to do your part in making peace. And this is what I want you to focus on this week. I'm going to give you homework. And next week, I want you to come with a list. People that you might not be at peace with. And we're going to talk about it. And I'll even send out an email. Forgive me for not sending out the weekly check-in this week. It's my fault, not Carol's. She asked me to, and I forgot. And then life happened. You're all here. It's good. But I want you to think about this. If we have been forgiven so much, then what do we now have to do to be at peace with other people? All right, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you came to set us free, that you came to pay the debt. And you just say, receive the gift. Receive the gift of forgiveness. And so, Father, we ask in your name that you would help us to truly experience the debt of our sin and how much it costs you. We sang about it already this morning. But Holy Spirit, reveal this to us. Convict us of our sin and help us to receive your gift of everlasting life. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.